بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. Some of you might be wondering, and I overheard some speaking prior to the salah, why is the prayer mat not in the mihrab, in the ark of the masjid? So it requires some explanation because you might feel it's something new. So initially, if you look historically look at the mihrab, as it's termed in the Arabic language, the ark of the masjid, this was meant as an additional space or an addition to the prayer house or to the worship home. You look at the story of Maryam, where Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, he saw the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enveloped Mary and Maryam, and then he went into the ark. It was like a private space where people would make dua at that time. So what did he say? He basically went into the mihrab and he said, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibah. Oh my Lord, bestow me with a pure, you know, good progeny, pure progeny. Innaka sami'u ad-du'a. You hear my prayers. So while he was in this private space, فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. That is when the angels called unto Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam and basically informed him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your dua. So this was one of those places which were either an addition to the worship home, the prayer home, or a private spot. Even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, this was the case. There would be an additional space in case, you know, the masjid was packed, or possibly on the day of Jumu'ah when the khatib would have his unique spot to stand on. Otherwise, through the farsightedness of the imams of the past, such as Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam says, why should the imam, Imam Abu Hanifa says, why should the imam distance himself from the community by praying in a private spot, or what was meant to be a private spot? There should be no distinction between the imam and his jama'ah, and his congregation. In fact, when we talk about the mandatory prayers, the obligatory prayers, the fara'id, the congregation should be as close as possible, right? So this is one reason why for the fara'id prayer, it is recommended by not only the Hanafi madhab, rather even other madhahib, that the imam stands as much as possible, closely as possible, to the congregants in their sufuf. And hence, this is why for the past couple of weeks, or since I've been here probably, you've seen me closer to the congregation than you were used to. This mihrab is, even in our time, meant for, you know, a private moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or possibly the day of Jumu'ah when the imam has, you know, his special position to address the community by means of which. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. We're continuing on with the chapter of prohibition of drawing portraits on blankets, on rocks, on clothing, on, you know, coins, etc. And we're continuing. What hadith did you recite yesterday? This one? Every painter?
Yeah, this one.
So, inshallah, we're continuing on.
You can read that hadith so that, inshallah, with your explanation, it will be...
Sure, inshallah. So we'll revise the same hadith that our brother Karimullah recited yesterday. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كل مصور في النار يجعل له بكل صورة صورها نفس فيعذبه في جهنم. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنه فإن كنت لابد فاعلا فاصنع الشجرة وما لا روح فيه. متفق عليه. A very important hadith, once again, on the authority of Ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him and his father, radiyallahu anhumah. He says, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, every painter will go into the fire based on each and every painting that that painter painted. And this individual will be punished in the fire of Jahannam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, if you really want to paint something, draw a tree or something which does not encompass a soul. Like I said in the beginning of this chapter, This is in reference to drawings which are either carved, painted, or drawn with your hands. As for the digital photos, nowadays, there was a difference of opinion in the past. Now you could say, unanimously, the scholars have mentioned that those are not haram, so long that as they are in your digital devices. And how about if you print them? Then there's a difference of opinion, right? One group says it is prohibited, and the other group says it's not prohibited. But both the groups say that there's no need to, you know, show off your photos, put yourself in the limelight by printing your digital photos. For example, putting them in your home for everybody to see. In fact, in many cases, by others envying the blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, they are a means of afflicting you with ayn, the evil eye. And then many people complain that there's jinns in our home, or there's a sort of an affliction, we've been afflicted with the devil or something of that sort. In the usual case, they have their own stuff to do. Majority of the cases, when we are afflicted by something evil, or when we are trialed with, you know, uneasiness in our homes, it's usually the evil eye. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like I mentioned in the chapter before, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us remedies to cure that evil eye. One of the most common remedies is what? The verses of the Quran which talk about protection. And then the another remedy that we've mentioned was the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, make this dua, O Allah, goodness is only brought by you, and you only protect us from evil. You are the most, you are the omnipotent, and there's no power and might besides you. And those who can recite this in the Arabic language, as we've studied it in the past, they can do so. So when it comes to digital photos, there's no prohibition actually to keep your photo, you know, in your device or in your camera or on your computer. But once it's printed out, then there's that difference of opinion. But once again, majority of the scholars, they say that even the printed photos will count as a reflection. It's not in the hukam, it's not in the ruling of this hadith that we've mentioned. But there is no difference of opinion with regards to showing off those photos now, or, you know, presenting them in your home. There's no difference of opinion in that matter, because it definitely is a cause of uneasiness and evil eye. So the Prophet ﷺ emphatically says, don't go about drawing the ruh, you know, entities which have a soul in them. If you really love drawing, or if you really love painting, you know, paint the shore, paint the tree, paint some beautiful mountains. You don't have to go about and paint the ruh, you know, a person or an animal which encompasses a soul. This is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. It's reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you might say then, you know, digital pictures are the same. Like I mentioned, they're not the same, and I explained in the beginning of the chapter, the reason why they're not the same is because they are pixels just flying at the screen at one moment at a time. It's not an actual picture, drawing. And once it comes out from the computer, or once it's printed out, once again, it's not a drawing, rather it's a reflection of a digital image which was created in your digital device. So I hope this clarifies the issue that you were having yesterday when this hadith was written, or recited, when this hadith was recited. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding in the deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us good Muslims. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate eternal success for us in this world and in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.